Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that we're again gathered together in your name, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you bring us all into that one accord, knitting our hearts together as you showed Kurt with that golden thread, Lord. And I believe that you're pulling it tight. And I believe that the bridegroom is at the door and the bride is getting ready to open the door. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to have a great time with you, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that tonight's broadcast or tonight's fellowship is going to be one filled with the glory of God. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for all the testimonies you've given us, Father, that do glorify you. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead us tonight. Teach us what you want us to know. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to learn a little bit tonight about dreams and visions in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Today is the 16th.
Hey, Michael.
Go ahead, brother.
It's the 15th.
Okay, I believe that. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests, testimonies, praise reports? Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Leon.
Got to get my mouth empty.
Sure.
I've been helping this lady remodel her house. It's an old structure and very badly put together and so on and so forth. But anyway, I was putting a door in where there was a window before, so when I took out the window, or the window was missing, and I cut and reframed a hole so I could slide a door in there. And I was working that all out and getting it set up to go, and I measured from the inside, and I had to have 82 inches to get the door in into the hole. But after I got everything straightened out, I noticed then that the outside, it was on a cement pad, and the outside was an inch and a half higher. So I didn't have 82 inches on the outside to put the door in. So I pondered what I was going to do, and I came to the realization that the only thing that to do was to break out the cement, chisel it out, just down an inch and a half. And I have a situation where my shoulders have been hurting for years. I sleep in like a recliner. I got a big boy recliner that I sleep in, so I don't sleep on my shoulders. And so I started chiseling this cement out, and I got about 6 inches chiseled out, and it was 40 inches wide. That's how much I had to chisel out. But I chiseled out about 6 inches, and my shoulders hurt like crazy. And I was calling out to the Lord, "Help me, Lord God. I can't do this. This is insane. I shouldn't have had to do this in the beginning," and, you know, and stuff like that. Well, after I got about 6 inches over, I went and did something else just to change up from hammering that cement and chiseling it out. And I came back, and I started chiseling again, and my shoulders didn't even hurt. And I was able to chisel out that hole, I guess 32 inches that was left, in about the same time that it took me to chisel out that 6 inches. And I've been healed, and God answered my request, and I feel great. I don't have any pain in my shoulders even now.
So
that's great.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Keep it up, Lord. Heal
Amen.
The rest of me. Heal
Thank
me
you,
up.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord, heal his mind, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good, man. I tell you what, God's doing that, too, all around. People getting healed, delivered, set free, wholesale. Going to even get better. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Anybody? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Okay. My boys, I guess my son Kurt told me that his grandfather and his dad's side, I think we had, I had mentioned this before, they found out that he does have stomach cancer. And I really don't believe that he's saved. But, so I want to pray for him. You've heard me tell the story about, the boy's great grandfather had cancer like 6-7 times. And the last time, he found out that he had cancer was when he passed away, but 10 days before, he passed away. The Lord gave me the opportunity to lead him to the Lord. And but anyway, that was an awesome story. Well, that's his father, my boy's grandfather. That was his father that I led to the Lord. But anyway, so so many times, many of the family members will say that, you know, that he reminds them of Pop, his father, and he does. But so anyway, Father, I just want to bring up Rada, a senior, to you. Lord, I'm believing that he's going to repent and believe in you. Even though I'm not married to his son anymore, I'm still believing for the family, because I still consider them my family. I love them all very much, and they've been good to me, Lord. And so, Father, I just thank you for granting him repentance unto salvation, Lord. And I thank you for using this illness to draw him to yourself and remind him how many times Pop had cancer, Lord, and then he knows that I led him to the Lord. And Lord, I just Lord, if you want to use me in any way to lead him to the Lord, then Lord, you just arrange that, Lord. I think that would be an awesome privilege. If not, Lord, I just ask you to bring someone across his path, Lord, and to help him to know what you did for him on the cross, Lord, and that you shed your blood to take away his sins, Lord. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for granting him repentance unto salvation, Lord. And Lord, I just want to believe, Lord, for that right now, Lord. I don't know if I have the faith to believe it, that he's gonna be here longer than that. I don't know, Lord. I don't know what you're doing, but Lord, you know, no, I am gonna change that, because Lord, you're bringing great revival, and Lord, I just believe that many of my family members, even in-laws, are gonna repent and believe in you, and that you're gonna give them deliverances and healings, Lord. And I believe that he's going to be one of them, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for granting him repentance and healing him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and I praise you. Amen. Had to talk that out. I can't hear you, Michael.
Well, I was praying. You wasn't supposed to. Well, no, I was telling the Lord that we just believe with you, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring this man salvation and grant repentance to him and bring him into the kingdom before anything happens to him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right, anybody else? Boy, it's a crazy world out there, isn't it? Lots of happenings going on out there. But you know, God's in control, and he's given us authority with our prayers to circumvent anything that he wants us to. And what he does, what God does, he gives us dreams and he gives us visions to warn us about these things and to let us know what we need to be praying about. And one of the things that he's commissioned his saints is to pray for this president we've got and pray for protection on him and to get and that God would give him wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that you send somebody up there to give this man throne room wisdom, Lord. That'd be awesome. And I thank you for it, Father, because you've told us that Trump is your man for this United States for this first 3.5 years of tribulation. And that I don't know what's going to happen after that, but we got 3.5 years of him anyway. And that we believe that. We believe, Lord, that you're going to protect him. We believe, Lord, that you are going to give him wisdom to know what to say and what to do in the future. I know, Lord, that he's kind of spouted off things here and there, but that's just because he's not a politician. He's just a regular man trying to do a good work in the country. And Father, we thank you that you do have your hand upon him, and you've told us he is Cyrus. And we thank you, Lord, that you have put this man in there. You have saved us from this crazy, ideological, screwed up, left people in this country that are full of demons, it seems like, that want to destroy America to get their agenda across. And Lord, we just thank you that you have thwarted them on every side. Lord, we thank you for uncovering all the nefarious things that they're doing out there to destroy this country and all the evil people that they have conspired with to destroy this country. And we thank you, Lord, that the deep state is coming down. We thank you, Lord, that you are draining the swamp. You have pulled the plug, so to speak, and bringing out draining that swamp out. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you have people out there that are praying and believing for this country in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you're our leader. You're the one we listen to, and you're the one that guides us. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I want to pray.
Yeah, I'd just like to pray also that any trap or any pit that they're digging for Trump right now, that they fall into it and get trapped into it themselves and they get exposed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord has given this man a lot of intelligence. And believe it or not, I believe he's a whole lot smarter than the people that he's against, you know, that are against him. And he seems to be able to bait them into doing things that they shouldn't do and it exposes them for who they really are. And I believe it's the Lord that's given him those things to do. But Lord, we thank you for that. Yes, Lord, we praise you for exposing all of this darkness, turning over all them old evil stones out there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And that goes for all the countries out there. Thank you, Lord, that you are in charge. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Lord, we pray for the people like John. It's in Sweden. Lord, we pray your protection upon him because he's right there in the middle of a lot of junk. And Lord, we pray your protection upon him. We pray, Lord, that there's, yeah, we pray, Lord, that we just surround him and all the other called and elect people of God over there in Sweden and Europe. That you do have them covered, Lord, that you are protecting them. And when evil comes around them, it's not going to touch them in any way in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to provide a way for them during all of this upheaval and turmoil that's even now bursting out all over Europe and Scandinavia. And we thank you, Lord, that your protection is going to be known throughout those countries. And we praise you for it, Father, because the power of God is a whole lot more stouter than the power of the evil one. And we praise you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, put peace and rest and joy in their hearts to know that you're in charge, Lord. You have them in their palm, and they don't have to worry about a thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, anybody else? Amen. Okay. Anybody got any testimony? Praise reports. Okay. I got a email.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Marla.
Yeah, I got a praise report. I know I've praised the Lord many times this summer for the nice rains that we've had, but it's just been all year long. We've just had beautiful rains, and not far from us, they get huge amounts of rain, and it does a lot of damage, and a lot of times you don't really appreciate them rains, but we live in farm country, and them rains are a true blessing from the Lord. So I just praise him for the really nice, timely rains we've had all year long this year. We know that's from him.
Amen. Yes, Lord. We thank you for all of those timely rains that the farm people are getting, Lord. Because, you know, Lord, I've looked at the crops where we are here in East Tennessee, and they're the best I've ever seen them in the last 6 years that I've been here. Because of your rain, I know that you're storing up. You're storing up for us, and I believe it, Lord. And I believe that you're storing up for the animals too. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Father. It's such an awesome time that we're in right now, Lord, and we thank you. Amen. All right, they looking good out there, Marla? Y'all's crops looking good? You just muted yourself. I'll unmute you. Okay. I will unmute you. No, I just muted you. Okay, go ahead, Marla. Unmuting you, and you was muting you, and I was unmuting you, and you was unmuting. It was just a circle. It was a Ferris wheel. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, things look really good right where we live. You don't have to go too far from us, and they had some pretty dry weather, and you know, doesn't look all that good, but right here where we live, it looks really good.
Yeah, it does here too. I'm telling you, I've never seen the corn crop look so good. And bean crop. Bean crop looks great, man. And the pastures, my goodness, the cow can't keep up with them. And that's a good thing. Well, all right. I've got a text here from Debbie and Denny. And it says, "Hi, Michael. We would like you and everybody on the call to please pray for Denny's sister, Joyce, who is dying. We are at her house right now with their sisters, nieces, and nephew, and brothers-in-law, including Bob, Joyce's husband. We prayed for her. Denny's sister and brother-in-law, who we came here with, are strong Christian believers in healing. We are praying for a miracle, though they have stopped feeding her. The hospital sent her home to die. The family does not know Jesus, but we are believing that God will use this and are praying over her to bring glory to Jesus through their salvation. We believe. Thank you and blessings to all." Well, okay, boy, that looks like a fine chance for Jesus. That's a fine time for a miracle, isn't it? I've seen that happen so many times. When the doctors send them home to die, that Jesus raises them up and says, "Okay, now you done tried everything you can by man," said, "let me show you something." And I believe that we're going to see something here if we pray. Y'all going to believe with me when we pray? And anybody else that wants to pray also can pray as well. In the name of Jesus right now, we command the spirit of death off of Joyce right now in Jesus' name. We command healing in every organ of her body, every cell in her body be healed right now in Jesus' name. We command that spirit of infirmity off of her in the name of Jesus. And we command the powers of darkness off of her right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you are infusing that woman right now with the spirit of life. Joyce, we call you back to life in Jesus' name. Now, she's not dead yet, but she's not going to be dead because we prayed the prayer of faith. Father, we thank you, Lord, that this Joyce is healed, delivered, and set free, and she's going to have a story to tell in the name of Jesus. Father, that her all of her family will be saved because of this. And Lord, we thank you for infusing bold and great faith in Denny and Debbie and all of the believers there to believe that she has already been raised up from this bed of infirmity in Jesus' name. This bed of sickness, rise up, Joyce, in Jesus' name and be healed. And we thank you, Father, for that. Amen. Anybody else?
Lord, we bind the enemy, Lord, and we command that he cannot have her in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We command doubt and unbelief out of that room. We command all works of the enemy out of that room right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that your true Christians are in there believing, and you've got Christians down here all over the country believing and all over the world believing for Joyce right now, Lord. And we thank you for it. You know, Lord, you showed Buddy one time when we was praying for his wife. They'd given her 6 weeks to live. And you showed him, took him to heaven and showed him what was happening to his wife, that the prayers of the saints were coming up to you, Lord, and you were sitting over and looking over the throne, Lord, and you were watching those prayers come up as beams of light that had Marilyn's name in neon sign all over it, Lord. And we believe that's what's happening to Joyce right now, Lord, that you're going to raise this woman up from the bed of affliction, and she's going to be a great and glorious testimony to your grace and your mercy upon her life in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Ooh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to pray? All right, I believe. And I believe y'all believe too. We all believing. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Got something they'd like to pray about or testimony? Praise report. Sing a song. We call out the dry bones, come alive, come alive. Don't get me started.
Hey, Michael, maybe you should play that song and give us all a little extra boost of faith.
Okay, you want to say something, Missy?
Yeah, I wanted to pray for my daughter-in-law, Brooke. My son, Kurt, and her were here visiting this weekend and this past weekend. And she texted me yesterday, and she says to me, I want to do a Bible study, and she wanted to know if I had any suggestions. So I called her up, and one of the first things that came to my mind was, you know, about love. But I told her to download eSword and told her a couple other things or whatever, you know, as you know, study helps and stuff. Anyway, and I had given her Sovereign God, and she started to read it, and she really liked it. And I asked her, I said, did you ever finish that? And she said, no. I said, well, that would be a good book, you know, to, you know, maybe you want to start over, you know, read through it, mark things, verses that you want to look up and look at cross-references and everything, you know. I think she needs more of a foundation in the Word. Maybe, or, you know, something like that to really give her a boost, you know, Sovereign God to encourage her faith and everything. so I prayed with her, you know, I just prayed, you know, that the Lord give her eyes to see and ears to hear and help, give her the understanding. And so, I'd like you all to, just, believe with me, pray, in agreement with me. So Father, I just, lift up Brooke, Lord. I just, ask you to just bless her in her studies and open her eyes and her ears and give her understanding. And I just forbid the enemy to come in any way to distract, to disrupt in any way Brooke's heart to read your word, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for blessing her in that. And Lord, I just ask you to use what you're doing in her to set Kurt on fire, or, you know, give him a curiosity and just want to get into your word too, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for saving them both, bringing them both repentance unto salvation, and for both their families too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Matt. Yeah, we believe with you, Missy. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to listen to Dry Bones by Michael Fearon. We'll share the screen. Y'all just sit back and enjoy. Maybe. Let them Amen. Man, that's a good one. That's my favorite right there. We sing it here, and when we sing it, I know some other people that are doing it too. I always call out the names of the people that I've been praying for a lot of times to come alive. Yeah. Praise God. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Go ahead, Matt.
I just want to say worshiping the Lord during this song, as I had my hand raised, and I opened my eyes, and I noticed my son had his hand raised too. And I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, praise God. His son's not but just, what, a year old? He's not even a year old, dude.
He's about 10 days away from 7 months.
Yeah. Praise God. He's a dandy. Go ahead, Missy. You say something?
No, but I did want to say something. I lots of times will imagine, different people that I've been praying for, just literally, coming alive. I just imagine them just like, just raising, being raised from the dead, even though they're not physically dead. But you know what I mean? I just, in my imagination.
Amen. Me too. I just imagine the Holy Spirit coming on them with the spirit of repentance and dropping down to the knees and calling out to God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's a powerful song in my estimation. Lauren Daigle has got it out, but Michael Farron and her are the ones that wrote it. That's the guy that was singing there. I like his rendition a whole lot better than I like hers. And that's not a sexist remark either. I just get that right out. He's got a lot more in his. And by the way, that studio where they're at, where they are, is down at Franklin, Tennessee, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump over there from us, probably about 3 hours or so, 4 hours maybe, over below Nashville.
So all those people are from around Tennessee?
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, yeah. Yep. Dustin Smith is the name of the group, and he was in there also singing as well. They're good people. Good people. They're good spirit-filled people, what I understand. Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gaino.
I have something I'd like to share. I just hearing this song kind of made me think of a dream I'd had some weeks ago. I can't even remember exactly when it was, but just some things about, it isn't about dry bones or anything, but I guess I'll just share a little bit of what I saw. It's not long. I was walking along, and I came to it was a place where it was like a pool of really dark, murky water, and there were three old cars in it, and they were all chained together with just the hugest log chains I have ever seen. And I wasn't sure how they got in this water. I didn't know whether the bank caved away if they had been up, because going into this water, it was like red dirt, and like it had just like some had caved off or something, and they had slidden down into this water. I wasn't sure if they just went over the bank or if the bank gave way. Wasn't sure. But anyway, these cars, there were three of them, and they were all chained together. And then off to the side, there was a big rock, and what I saw was just, I believe it was a demon, and it was red, and it kind of looked like the Flintstones, and he was just on this rock, just laughing, just thought it was so funny. And I really never got any meaning to this at all, and I have just, the Lord kind of put it on my mind from time to time, but as I was listening to this song, it just kind of made me think of, you know, we know so many people that are in denominations and they know some truth, but there's so much truth that they don't know. They really don't know the power of God and, you know, it's living and it's powerful, and they're missing that part of the truth. And, I guess I could just see that as these cars were chained together, and how are they going to get anywhere? They're like chained. And, you know, and I don't know that that's a special meaning for that, but I just, that really came to me as I was listening to the song, that it could be families, it could be denominations, you know, just people that don't know truth and they're stuck and they can't get out. And this water that they were in, it was really murky, which would definitely be not truth, you know. And I don't know, that is a thing that just came to me as I was listening to that song. So there, whether that has something to do with it, I don't know, but it kind of spoke to me. And also, just a couple mornings ago, I just had, it was only a one scene thing. It's along the road where I usually walk every morning, and it's the time that I pray and just spend time with the Lord. And I was walking along, and all at once, and this was just a little dream. It wasn't in reality at all, but right out of this row of evergreen trees that's growing along the side of the road, I didn't know whether it was a really dark wolf or if it was a big dog. I wasn't sure because it was off in the distance, and it came out of the trees and it looked at me, and then it went back in the trees, and I kept walking and praying, and it came out again and it looked at me, and then it went back in the trees again. And I really felt that it was just an evil presence. And I don't know, from time to time I have kind of looked at some scriptures because, you know, it being a dog, that would definitely be something evil. And I was reading the scripture in Philippians, and I'd like to read Philippians. It's chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision." And then verse 3 says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." And off to the side I have, you know, flesh cut up. It's not proud. And the thing that I was getting out of that was to not count on my ability, but to count on God and his ability and not mine. And so I don't know, you know, someone else may have an idea of whether a dog or a wolf, whatever it was, would come out and just kind of look at me and give me this stare down thing and then go back into the trees. And anyway, I just felt it was an evil presence. And I guess I felt an evil presence with the situation, the dream with the cars too. So I don't know. I don't have any other thoughts on it, but I just thought I would share that since this was going to kind of be on dreams tonight. So that was all. So if anybody has any ideas, I'm open.
All right. Anybody got any comments on her dream? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Well, I would think it would be a wolf because you're a lamb of God, and a wolf is a natural predator to the lamb, not a dog. And he was coming out to look at you to see if he could get a bite out of you, but because you have the Spirit of the living God in you, he was not able to do anything, so he went back in. But he came back out to check it out and see if you had a lack of faith, and he found that your faith was stable, so he went back in. And That would be my interpretation of what was going on.
Well, thank you for that. You know, I basically kind of thought, you know, I was kind of going back between a wolf and a dog, and I thought, too, a wolf would be an animal of prey. And
right.
That was kind of my thought, but, you know, I wasn't thinking of myself as a lamb. I was just thinking that this was a wolf coming out, you know, to just check the situation out. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody got anything on the green?
I'm kind of also thinking it's a reminder that, you know, the wolves are out there. Wolves are generally, yeah, they're predators, but they're also the ones that have the false doctrine, and they're looking for who they can devour. So they'll come out, and he's in the woods, so you can't see him, then all of a sudden he's there, and or she or whatever. It's going to be something that's going to come out and face you. It could be some kind of a trick, some kind of a deception going on there. And so you want to pay attention and stay in the Word, stay true to God, stay close to the Lord now, because deception is going to come out and it's going to be facing us once in a while. And if we have the truth in us and we're walking by faith, and we're not going to be led astray. So the wolves always lead you astray. They're looking who they can devour. So that could be what they're going to say or what they're going to do. They're going to try to draw you to themselves. And so you want to pay attention that you're not going to be drawn in by what they have to say. So they're going to naturally present themselves. It's it's up to us to not to be distracted or stray into anything that they're going to lead us to.
Thank you.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, all right. Okay, has anybody else got any comments they'd like to share or anything they'd like to talk about? Okay, I believe it was Leon that last week said that he'd like to talk about dreams and visions tonight. You want to start out? What did you want us to, did you have anything particular, Leon, that you wanted to share before we, you know, before anybody else?
Not really. I'm in a receiving mode tonight.
Okay.
A learning mode.
Okay.
I want to learn about all this stuff.
Well, dreams and visions, as you know, are part of the makeup of the Christian walk. God gives us these dreams. He gives us visions. And it's all throughout the Word of God that he does give dreams and visions. And he does it for, as Paul says, for edification, exhortation, and consolation. And with that, the dreams, I can just tell you about some things that I've learned over the last few years about dreams and visions. Most of the dreams are warnings. They're not things that are actually, that don't necessarily have to happen. When we get warnings, when we get dreams here, we've been taught that to go into prayer mode and fasting mode, depending on what the Lord gives us at the time. And that's the way they did back in the Word of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, sometimes people talk about prophecy and dreams and visions. And dreams and visions, to me, is part of prophecy. When the Lord gives you a dream or he gives you a vision for the church, it's for our warning. It's a warning, or it's an exhortation. It's an encouragement sometimes, and most of the time, though, it's a warning or letting us know what the Lord thinks, you know, in certain instances. You know, a lot of people say that God doesn't use dates in prophecy and dreams and visions. Then we'd have to ignore what the Word of God tells us if we believe that. Remember what God told Noah? What did he tell Noah? He said in 7 days the flood's going to come, didn't he? In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4. He told him that. And then remember what he told Daniel? He said in the 70 weeks dream. You remember that? It dated the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the coming of the Messiah to die in Daniel chapter 9. He told us all about that. And he also prophesied that from the middle of the tribulation, when the continual burnt offering is going to be taken away, that there's going to be 1,335 days. That's actual days. Until the resurrection, that was in Daniel 12, 11 through 13. And God spoke through Joseph to the butler and the baker of Pharaoh that in yet 3 days their judgment from God would come. And then he told Noah, said in 40 days, he told him. And then a lot of prophecies are mentioned after 2 days or after 6 days. So God does give us dates. He does tell us things about dates as well. And there are dates that are going to come to pass. The scriptures also tells us about on the third day. When is the third day? Well, that's the third day after Christ. That's where we are right now. Or the seventh day. It's the seventh day after creation. We're at that time right now. The morning of the seventh day, where we are at the beginning of the seventh day of God's creation. And so, yeah, God can give us dates and things like that. Does anybody want to add to what I've just said or talk about it a little bit about dates? Yeah, Leon.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't want to talk about dates, but I did want to mention that Gaynell's dream just now that she shared with us, one was a warning to her, I think personally, was a warning to her, and the other was a warning about the church, the status of the church, with the cars chained together and so forth. And that's just a great example of what you're talking about, that God gives us warnings and revelations as to what's coming about and things of that nature. And it was just spot on for what you're saying, you know. Although she didn't get any dates out of it.
Sure.
You know, she still got great information, you know, stuff that can benefit her walk with the Lord and encourage her to stick with him and so on and so forth. So,
yeah.
I just wanted to say
now that you mentioned that, it also could have a dual meaning, that she could have represented the bride, that the wolf is always out there lurking and trying to trip up the bride, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good analogy there. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, the cars bothered me. It bothered me because it speaks about people being trapped, you know, in the murky waters. Like, they're not getting a clean word, you know. And you got the demon that's controlling it. They're not allowing them to, you know, come back into the up and out of that stuff. And they're just like the cars. It seems like it's families that are trapped. I don't know. Maybe that's just kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, go ahead, Leon.
Cars often indicate ministries because that's a vehicle that you use to spread the word. So cars, not in every case, but in Gaynell's dream, she even mentioned that these cars were chained together and so on and so forth. But the demon there laughing is because they can't do anything because they don't have the truth. So that's what the chain is. That's the chain that the demon has put on him. He's stopped them from seeing the truth and sharing the truth. So it's that ministry, but also, like you're saying, it's the families of the church. They're in bondage too, and they can't get out. They're in murky waters, and they can't see the truth. They can't embrace the truth. You know, it's like when we talk to people and we share what the Bible says. Oh, you can't believe that. You know, that's not what my pastor says. You can't believe that. You know, well, wait a minute. That's what God says. You know, but I thought that was a very astute dream as well. You know, but so anyway.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. It could be the apostate religion that everybody's chained to, and they're in the swamp down there, and they're in the quagmire of all of that unholy teaching, and they're stuck, so to speak. But you know what? God's fixing to break open that swamp. He's going to drain that one too. He's fixing to set a lot of people free with this revival coming on. Okay. Anybody else on that dream? See there, I knew Gaynell was going to get something out of there, that dream. Amen. Okay. Can God delay a promised judgment after he has prophesied a date, whether it was a dream, whether it was a vision or a prophetic word? Can he do that? Now, we know he's not going to change the word itself, but can he change a prophesied dream, vision, or prophetic word?
My thought is, of course he can, as long as it's not contrary to the word, like you were saying.
Amen. He did it all the time in the Word, didn't he? Remember when he told Moses, he said, "Back up, Moses, I'm going to take care of this bunch." Remember that? And Moses sent Aaron out there with that that incense burner, which represents the prayers of the saints, you know. And go ahead, Matt. I see your finger. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was just thinking about that time where, kind of like, you know, you were talking about Moses, where God said that, you know, the Israelites were going to step foot in the Promised Land. Well, they came in with the bad report and everything, and then God revoked his word and said, "You're not going in there. Your sons will go in there, but you won't."
Amen. So he can change, can't he? He can change what he prophesied. Just like Jonah. Remember what? He prophesied through Jonah that he was going to take care of Nineveh, didn't he? And then he sent Jonah over there, who didn't want to go because he knew that he was going to get a backlash and people were going to call him false prophet. And he had to go through that little trial with the fishes. And then once God got his attention, he went over and did what the Lord told him. And God saved him. You remember what God told him, though? When Jonah complained to God about it, he said, "Man, there's 60,000 people in that city there." I said, "Come on, man. Hadn't you rather just humble yourself and let's go ahead and save this 60,000 people than go ahead and destroy them because of your pride?" That's what he told him, you know. And, of course, he realized what he had done and repented and went ahead and went through the streets of Nineveh. And people got saved. Those 60,000 people, God repented of it, his prophecy. So, yeah, God can change. Now, the Word of God is not going to change. In Psalms 119, hang on about just a second. In Psalms 119:89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Anything that's in the Word of God is not going to change. It's going to come to pass. All right, Matt, go ahead, brother.
I was going to say, even part of Nineveh, he even mentioned the cattle, which he saved, you know?
Yeah, amen. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. For no prophecy ever came by the will of men, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit." And there's some that people out there that say that God can change what he says in his word because it's not prophecy. It says he calls it the word of prophecy, doesn't it? It says it's a prophecy of Scripture. There's people all the time out there changing the word of God because they don't think it's true. And what does Revelation 22:18-19 say? He said, if you add to or take away from this word, you know, you're going, all the curses in this book's going to be on you. You're going to be taken out of the tree of life, the book of life. Yeah, Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to share what I, I stumbled on. I thought about it. You guys will recognize this. It's in 2 Kings 21. Hezekiah's illness, how the Lord changed his mind. So he can say one thing and then make his change his mind too when we pray. In those days, Hezekiah was ill and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "The Lord says, put your house in order, for your death is near." Then turning his face to the wall, he made his prayer to the Lord, saying, "O Lord, keep in mind how I made true to you with all my heart, how I've been true to you with all my heart, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah gave way to bitter weeping. Now before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the town, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go back and say to Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, the Lord, the God of David, your father, says, your prayer has come to my ears, and I have seen your weeping. See, I will make you well on the third day, and you will go up to the house of the Lord. I will give you 15 more years of your life, and I will keep you and this town safe from the hands of the king of Assyria. I will keep this town safe for my honor and for the honor of my servant David." I just wanted to bring that up to show how here you got Isaiah is coming up and giving the prophecy that he's going to die, telling Hezekiah, and then he turned around, Hezekiah prayed the Lord about it and interceded for himself, and the Lord answered his prayer. So he was allowed right there just to change his mind like that. So even though God might say something, doesn't mean we can't still intercede.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Matt.
Well, that just, you know, kind of bring it back to the beginning, you know, when the Lord gives us warning dreams. Okay. You know, like he did David. You know, he said that, you know, he thought he had cancer. So he asked the Lord about it. And the Lord said, "You shall die," you know. And then he says, "Well, no, that's not what I believe." And so he got another word. And then he said, "You shall not die," you know. And that's the same thing with dreams. We get warning dreams about someone might be going factious or this or that. Okay, this person's going to get sick, or this person, you know. The Lord gives us this dream so that way we can pray against it, cast it down, so that way it doesn't happen. Just like, you know, Hezekiah there, he prayed for his life, he interceded for his life, and the Lord heard him.
Amen. That's just like the Trump election. A year before the election, God gave us a word that we were to pray for him and to pray that God would bring him into office, because he was going to be our Cyrus. And that's what we did. We started praying for him. And, of course, you see what happened. Hillary was scheduled to win that election. There was no way that Trump could win. Matter of fact, they all poo-hawed it, you know, and said there was no way Trump's going to be in there. They just laughed about it. That's crazy. That man ain't getting in there. Next thing you know, just like I showed you last week, that graph changed when the prayers of the saints went up to the Lord. He can change anything. All right, go ahead, Leon.
I was going to tell you, Matt had a dream before he came here, and he was at a restaurant, I believe it was, and he was seeing people and so forth. And he had visited here before he moved here. He had visited just about the same time that I moved here. And anyway, in his dream, he asked David, he said, "Where's Leon?" And David said he factioned out. Leon factioned out. So David gave me that dream, and I besought the Lord about that and didn't faction out. So thank you for that, Matt. I appreciate that. But and I've had a couple of words from Eve and so forth about some various things, and I've repented and sought the Lord about it and changed my what I'm doing, and sought the Lord, and he's been gracious to me and helped me to repent and do the right thing. So, you know, I got that from Matt's dreams and dreams and visions from Eve. So,
amen. Let me just clarify something here. He changed. He repented. We've had others that had these dreams and visions that they weren't going to make it, and we told them about it, and they went on out. They couldn't handle the correction. So that's the difference between the called and the chosen, right there, is that they're willing to repent of anything that God shows them is wrong in their character, you know, and they repent. They either repent or they're out of here.
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, don't thank me, Leon. The Lord gave me the dream, so. Thank him.
Amen. And,
yeah, you're right, Michael. You know, I've seen it firsthand, you know, the faction here and what happens when, you know, we get warning dreams and who receives it and who doesn't, you know. And it's who wants to be there and who doesn't want to change, you know.
Well, what does the Word say? Jesus told us to repent and believe. And any time that you go through the Word of God, be it dreams, visions, or the Word of God itself, and you find out something that you're going against it, then it's time to repent. That's what he's talking about. Repent and believe. Believe what? Well, believe what the Word of God says, that you have been cleansed of it once you repent. And repent just means to change what you're doing and go ahead and start doing what God wants you to do. That's all it means. Doesn't mean to sit out there and throw snot all day long asking God forgiveness, you know. He just said, repent and believe. That's it. What's the matter, Matt? Having a Holy Ghost fit there, boy. Come on, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to add to what we're talking about here? Prophecies, dreams, vision? I want to also talk about, when we talked about delay, and you remember we talked about Jonah, and he was not a false prophet because his prophecy didn't come true, did it? The capital of Nineveh, of Assyria, Nineveh, repented, and God spared them for 64 years he spared them, and then after the 64 years he took them out. The prophecy was fulfilled. It just he just delayed it a while, and God said through Job, dreams and visions are to keep man's soul from the pit and to keep him from perishing by the sword. Then the threat cannot come to pass when man turns to God, right? And sometimes in scriptures, God repented of a promised judgment when there was a repentance. In Joel chapter 2 and verses 12 through 20. Now Micah, he prophesied the destruction of Zion, but the people repented, didn't they? They all repented, and God changed his mind. That's Jeremiah 26, 18. But we also find that a person, if we find somebody that repented, and God, wait a minute. I'm read all of this thing here, and I'm getting kind of ahead of myself. So if we find that a person explains all of their prophecy, dreams, or visions away with the excuse that they were delayed. Now, if you find somebody like that, that he gives a prophecy out, and you confront him on it, and he says, well, that was delayed, and he keeps on doing that, you know he's a false prophet, because that's not the rule, that's the exception in prophecy. Delays are exception in scriptures and not the rule. So, but you know, God can delay judgment because of God's people crying out for mercy. He'll do that. God showed visions of judgment three times to Amos, but he sought mercy all three times from the Lord. He said, forgive, I beseech thee, how shall Jacob stand? For he is small. And God relented, and he delayed that judgment against him twice. Well, what happened the third time? He said, I ain't going to do it this time. I ain't going to do it this time. This judgment is going through. And so, why would God so quickly appear to change his mind? God is looking for a reaction. Isaiah prophesied death to Hezekiah, saying, set thy house in order, for you shall die and not live. Remember that one? And what happened? Hezekiah went and told the Lord, asked the Lord, said, Lord, I don't want to go right now. And he asked him, he said, can you spare my life? He said, yeah, 15 more years. I'll give you 15 more years, brother. That's God's grace and mercy on us, isn't it? What God tell us? He said, you have not because you ask not. So if, just like David, who was that? Was that you, Matt, talking about David when he got the cancer? Told him he got cancer. The Lord told him he had cancer, and went out there, and him two women said they'd been praying, and God told him that David had cancer. And then he went home, and he said, Lord, give me a word. Said, give me a word. I don't accept that. And he did. He said, thou shalt die and not live. He got that verse, like Matt was talking about. And then he got to thinking about it, and he said, well, wait a minute, that goes against the word of God. He said, I'm a child of God, and I ain't got to put up with the curse. He said, give me another word, Lord. I'm not going to accept that. And he did. And the only other verse in the whole word of thou shalt live and not die, he got it at that particular time. So God can do anything, can't he? And of course, as you know, that was years ago. That was quite a long time ago. All right. Anybody else on prophecy, dreams, and visions? You know what seems to me? A lot of times it takes God's threat of judgment on God's people before they'll go to praying. You know what? Instead of just going ahead and doing what David calls it preventive maintenance. It's when we just pray consistently all of the time about these things that are coming up, rather than God said, now, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, y'all. And he said, I'm fixing to just rake this country, you know, and whatever. And then, but then God's people go to praying, just like this Hillary thing and Trump thing. People got serious about praying against this woman, because they knew that destruction was coming to these United States because of it, and people, God's people. But then once Trump got in there, they just kind of sat back and relaxed a little bit instead of keeping on, you know, and praying, keeping on praying. God's protection on this man and God's wisdom upon him. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to expose all of that corrupt evilness up there in that town. And what happened? We saw, you know, I've seen it week after week. When God's people lax, sit back and forget to pray, things start happening. You know, things go kind of haywire up there in Washington, D.C. But when God's people get back on track and they start praying again, you see he's doing the right moves. And that's why it's imperative for all of us to be praying for this man all the time. Put him before the Lord. And we're going to have a great time through the first 3.5 years of tribulation because of it. Guarantee you. You know, David says in this, actually, I'm getting a lot of this information, and you can go on site and get it. It's prophecy, dreams, and visions. Dates, delays are just false. And that's a Bible study that David did some years ago. What happens a lot of times is that God has to get us to pray in faith, is to give us that vision or that dream and that threat of judgment that God has for us to get us to move toward praying and fasting and praying. And just like we just got through talking about. You know, I was in maintenance for many years for a major manufacturing plant. And I installed a preventive maintenance program, just like David did, back in the 70s, I did it in the 90s, where I worked. They didn't know anything about preventive maintenance. As a matter of fact, I went ahead and bought the software and got it, and we installed it. We got all the mechanics and electricians to doing preventive maintenance, and we cut back down time tremendously. I mean, it was just automatic, you know. Instead of putting out fires, from then on, we started, little by little, we started working on his equipment with scheduled downtime rather than unscheduled, putting out fire type of maintenance, which they were used to, you know. And, man, I was sick of that kind of stuff, because you got all these managers out there breathing down your neck. You got 200 people out there out of work because something's happened, you know. But scheduled preventive maintenance, even in the spiritual realm, is a necessity. If you can keep praying these things for the country, for the people around you, interceding for the people around you, you're going to see God's mercy and his grace working all around you all the time, instead of just, oh, my goodness, this one's fixing to fall. Glory to God, we all got to go to fasting and praying all at the same. No, we don't have to. We can do this preventive maintenance if we just keep on praying all the time. When those, if you do like we do, we listen to the dreams and the visions that come out, that all the dreamers and people that do that, we've got a number of them that do that. And generally, you'll have two different ones come up with the same type of dream or vision that God is trying to tell us something. And we'll get words in the mornings, prayer meeting, on some of those things that God shows us. And I'm telling you, it's just like God speaking to you. And so we'll go to praying. We'll pray for that and pray for something, you know, pray for whatever God tells us to. And that's, hey, Jackie, did you want to say something?
Yes, sir. I have a pretty awesome confirmation of a vision that the Lord gave me.
Well, all right, go ahead and tell us about it.
This was it started the morning, early morning after the Lord took Mac, my late husband, I prayed a simple prayer downstairs. The Holy Spirit prayed it through me, and I said, Lord, if this house or this place is going to hold me back in my walk with you, show me. And then I was fellowship, that was in April, and I was fellowshipping with a brother. I think it was either July or August. And I had this vision on the front porch. I was sitting there, and I was actually sitting on the front porch, and I had my feet propped up on the railing, and I was drinking a sweet tea, and I had this vision, and the Lord showed me of walking away from all of this, like this whole place, you know, where I'm at, and being free. And he showed me that I'd be walking away with a pink camo backpack, and inside of it I was to put dog food for Spot, my Bible, and some water and a few snacks for myself, and just walk away, like just walk, you know, leave everything, like my vehicle and everything. And I prayed on it for many years about moving and everything, and just waited for the confirmation, which the Lord has so awesomely, graciously given me. But my friends in my neighborhood that I walk with, I have a group of friends that we walk our dogs, and they wanted to have a going away party for me. So they had this party on Sunday at a restaurant to take me out for dinner. And we were sitting there, and I wasn't even expecting gifts or anything, and people were giving me gifts. And the very first one I opened up was a pink camo bag, like a backpack, you know, like a carry-on bag. And I, like, looked at it, and I started to cry. And everybody said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And there were, like, 20 or 21 people there. And so I had to give the testimony to them, and everybody was crying. I said, you will never believe this. I said, I didn't tell any of you. I believe I told my brother, and I told another brother in Christ. And I think maybe my sister, like, a year or so ago, but nobody else knew, like, about this. And I was like, well, the Lord told me when I would be leaving this place that I was going to be leaving with this pink camo backpack. And that was the first present I opened. And I was just, like, so touched. And I was like, praise you, Lord. And I was like, thank you, Lord. And everybody was just rejoicing with me. They're not all yet with the Lord, but they've seen and heard, you know, through different people. And I believe it was just like an awesome testimony, because the neighbors that gave it to me, they hugged me and they were crying. And I said, only the Lord could have done this, because none of you knew this, that he gave me this vision. And it was just so awesome. And then we were praising God. And then another testimony that same day, I visited my sister in the nursing home before I went to the party. And she was kind of sad because she wanted to go. And because of her health problems right now, she physically can't get there. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't take you. And she said, well, bring me leftovers. So I told a couple of my friends there when we were sitting at dinner, I said, I want to take my sister something. And they said, oh, okay. And then we all ordered sandwiches, and three of us ordered the same sandwich, and they were coming really late, like everybody else was halfway through their meal. And then they brought our sandwiches, and they brought an entire extra dinner. And I was like, oh, wow. And she said, oh, we must have made a mistake and made an extra one. And she said somebody could take that home. And my friend Barb, sitting next to me, she looked at me and she said, well, you're always telling me that God works all things out for the good. She said, I think God gave your sister that free meal. And I was like, well, amen. So we were rejoicing, and everybody was just so happy. So praise God for it. It was pretty awesome. It was really, really cool, especially the pink camo bag, because nobody knew that. So, and I am leaving on Thursday. I'm walking out of here, and I've been here 5 years since Mac passed, and my neighbors that bought that for me had, like, they buy presents at Christmas time. They, you know, usually buy a birthday present. So they've had multiple times, you know, to buy this present for me and this gift, but the Lord worked it out that he confirmed and, you know, just completed that vision of mine of walking out of here with that bag. So, amen.
Pretty amen. Cool. So Thursday's your last day, huh?
Yes. Tomorrow's my last day. Yeah. So I'll be out of here. And I have to send you a picture, because Brother Rob pulled out with a truck and a trailer full today. And he said, I want you to send this picture to Michael and tell him you're not walking out with a knapsack full.
Okay. Yeah, send it to me.
Yeah, I amen. Promised I would send it.
All right. Amen. Well, you know, you're talking about that free meal. not too long ago, David and I was over at Wendy's for lunch. We pulled up, and this lady was looking out the window, looking for a car or something. And we said, what's the matter? She said, well, somebody just drove off from their lunch. Did they pay for it? She said, yeah. She said, we'll take it. She said, okay. And she gave it to us, and it was two cheeseburgers and two french fries. So the Lord paid for our lunch, too. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
It's like the little things like that when you know he told me this and showed me the vision, 5 years ago. And then, I didn't even think about it. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it, And then to open the very first gift on the day before I'm leaving, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Awesome.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Jackie. We'll be glad to hear from you from your new adobe. Your new abode up there.
Thursday night. Hopefully others will be on with me.
That'd be awesome.
On.
Yeah,
amen.
That'd be awesome. Well, all right. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Amen. I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all that are in high places, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. So if we keep on praying, if we keep on covering ourselves with prayer and covering the people around us with prayer and covering the people's in leadership in prayer, then we're going to see a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. Amen. And Joel, he prophesied about the great army, and he likened that army like a great horde of locusts, then an army of locusts that would ultimately invade Samaria and devastate the sinners of God's people. And that was before the actual invasion of Assyria. But he spoke of it in present tense. And it was a threat that God was showing them. Y'all need to be praying for this. In Joel chapter 1, in verse 6, he says, for a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the jaw teeth of a lioness. Now, chapter 2, and verse 11. And the Lord uttereth his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? After impressing the people with that, and that's a type and a shadow for what's fixing to happen here, okay? The day of the Lord here. He offered this advice from the Lord in verse 12. Yet even now, saith the Lord, turn ye unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is a gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Oh, I'm sorry. And merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil, who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. And then there was this cry for the leadership to ask for that mercy in verse 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And then God answered, of course, and delayed temporarily that bad judgment that he had told him about, and he left a blessing. Verse 18, then the Lord was jealous for his land and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And he spoke of a time that was coming in the end times when they would never be a reproach again, and that northern army would be destroyed. Now, he's talking about our time now. Praise God, I'll be glad when that happens. I will no more, verse 19, I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its forepart into the eastern sea and its hinder part into the western sea. Were the first 1.5 chapters of Joel false because it didn't happen at the time it was spoken? We ought to be careful, because this is what some Joels are being told today by some who love to judge by sight and have not heard from the Lord. When a true prophetic warning is delayed or canceled because of the mercy of God, sometimes the prophet or dreamer becomes angry because now they're persecuted as a false prophet. I remember back in 2000, I believe it was 2000, when there were prophets that prophesied the destruction of America at that time, and the Lord delayed it. Their prophecy was true that God was going to do that, but through the prayers of the saints at that time, God spared America. And so that was an instance right there of this country. In Jonah 4:1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He got angry, didn't he, because God warned him to go over there. He knew when he went over and preached the word of God to Nineveh that they was going to repent, and he didn't want to do that because he would have been called a false prophet by the people around him. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I hasted to flee into Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That man was prideful, wasn't he? What God pointed out to Jonah was that mercifully sparing the lives of that multitude of ignorant people ought to come ahead of your pride and your reputation as a prophet. We ought, and David says in Philippians 2:5-7, that we need to follow Jesus' lead in being made of no reputation. That's right. We ought to be of no reputation. It shouldn't matter to us what we do. As long as God tells us to do it, it don't make any difference what them people out there say. Doesn't make a bit of difference in the world. If God tells you to do something, you do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Isn't that what he said? So we just obey God. If he tells us to do something after he's prophesied through us that this is going to happen or that's going to happen, and he said, but if you do this, I'll have grace and mercy upon him. And that's what we ought to do, not worry about what people think about it. Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to add in here about dreams, visions, and prophecies? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to tell you another incident where Eve sent a word to me that she had gotten from the Lord. And it was talking about me wanting to have a position here in the ministry. You know, but that's not the reason I came. As a matter of fact, just a couple of weeks prior to that, I had gone through that in my spirit. I had looked at my spirit and looked at my intentions and checked out if I was looking to gain a position and trying to usurp or, you know, just get over on people, you know. And I came to the realization that I wasn't. I didn't come here for a position. It's like I told you at the beginning of this, I'm here to learn. You know, I want to learn. I don't want to teach. I want to learn. And so I had set in my heart that I wasn't looking for a position. Then about 2 weeks later, I get this dream from Eve, and it's talking about me seeking a position. And she asked the Lord for a word, and he gave her a word that fit with what she was saying. And I was freaking out. I was saying, Lord, I already took care of this. I've already repented, and you know, I put that down. I'm not having that, you know. And so I just kept it to myself, and I just continued praying to the Lord that if that was the case, that he would reveal that to me so I could repent and so on and so forth. Well, then about a week later, I get another email from Eve, and she goes, "Whoops, I was wrong. The Lord told me I was wrong. So just forget that, you know, and we'll move on from that." So I was blessed by that, and you know, when I saw her the next time, I said, "Well, thanks for that. I appreciate that." And I said, "Don't worry about anything, you know, keep sending me whatever the Lord tells you about me. If you think it's about me, send it to me, because I want to be right with the Lord, you know." So I thought that was kind of cool too.
Amen. Well, that's the great thing about Eve. She always asks the Lord before she sends it to
personal
word for somebody.
Yeah.
And if the Lord says yes, she'll send it. And, you know, she didn't like to.
Right.
Because
yeah, that's what a lot she of was time, saying.
Yeah. A lot of times people come against her, you know.
Could have been a trial.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I think it was too, yeah. You know. And the Lord was showing me that I truly wasn't seeking a position.
Amen.
So, you know, that's cool.
Amen.
Well, yeah, I kind of learned to run the other way myself. I know better.
Yeah.
To take a position, you know, and not be the Lord's will, that would be disastrous.
Yeah.
Disaster.
So, Michael, you don't have to worry.
I don't worry anyway. Here's what I know. That when you seek after the Lord with all your heart, all this other stuff will fall into place. Where he wants you, it'll come into place. Don't worry about a position or title or anything like that. I never did. When David asked me about coming in and helping, you know, I said, no, I ain't going to do that. I've done been beat on too much. I don't care nothing about that. And he said, well, just pray about it and ask the Lord. So I did. And the Lord told me, he said, yeah, I want you to do that. And I said, no, I don't want to, Lord. He said, don't make no difference what you want. I said, do it. I want you to do it. And so that's what he did with me. And
right.
I still don't care much about it. I mean, it's not something that's, it has to be the Lord, because I don't care anything about doing the stuff that I've been doing. And you know, it's sometimes it's a struggle, but you know, we do what God wants us to do, and he'll see us through it. And that's
you
what
do
I
it
know.
Well, though.
Well, I appreciate that. That's
you
not me.
Well.
Just like I said, I'm not a teacher. I didn't think I was, but the Lord says, well, yeah, I am. I'm a teacher to you. So praise God. Anyway, let's get off of me. Back to dreams and visions. Has anybody got anything else they want to talk about as far as dreams and visions? Is there questions that you'd have about dreams and visions or prophecies or words from the Lord? When we get a word from the Lord, every morning we get a word, everybody gets a word from the Lord. It comes over here for prayer. We have a, what we call a prayer meeting. And the reason we call it a prayer meeting because, we come together, all of us have a word from the Lord, and we give that word out, and then we pray over that word, whatever that word be. And it's just an amazing thing how God puts that together every morning. And it all seems to coalesce into the same, the same thing, the same theme that God wants us to know. And it's just amazing. What I do, I just pray in the morning. First thing, I've got a little daily devotional that I do, and I read from Andrew Murray, and it's, oh man, it just seems to be right on target every day. But anyway, I'll do that, and then I'll pray, and then I'll ask the Lord, Lord, I want a word from you that's going to be appropriate for this morning's prayer meeting. And Lord, I'm going to open up this word, and I'm going to ask you to guide my finger and to guide me to the page that you want to go to and the verse that you want me to do, and let that be the one. And invariably he does. You know, some mornings, I mean, almost every morning it's almost just the same as everybody else is getting, or something, you know, referring to what God wants to show us. But some mornings I get one of those long names, you know, this one begat that one, and this one begat that one, and this one over here was the son of so-and-so and such. And what I do on those kind, I'll tell them, I said, now this is a famous verse that we all know. And then we'll go through it, and then I'll put my spin on them names, because I don't have a clue what God's trying to show us through them names. You know, I know sometimes it gets pretty wild. Praise God. But we do. We have a lot of fun in the prayer meetings in the mornings. But that's how we get our word. That's, we pray and we ask God to guide our hand down into the word. That's scriptural. That's what we do. And God has shown us many things. That's how the dreamers, every time they have a dream or a vision, they'll ask God to give them a word about that, a confirmation of that dream or that vision, and he will. Gaynold, she does that same thing. She'll have a vision or a dream, and then she'll ask the Lord for a word about it, and he'll give her a word. And generally, most of the time, it's right on target. Right on target. It's really cool to watch God talk to us that way. God talks to us that way. That doesn't mean to say that he can't talk to you in that still small voice in your spirit, and he does. But he can talk to you wide open, right out there with the word of God and people's dreams and visions the same way. Praise God. Amen. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to add? How about it, Kurt? Yeah, we've had a lot of dreams since I've been here, a lot of visions that came true, and a lot of them it didn't because of our prayers. You know, I remember the first time that we had somebody had a dream about somebody that was going to faction out. And we didn't know, you know, when I first got here, I didn't know much about it. I'd heard them talking about it, and I didn't know faction from whatever, you know. And then it happened. The faction happened. And I said, oh my goodness. And what it was is we just didn't pray. We didn't know how to pray. We didn't know how to, you know, pray against that kind of thing. But as the years rolled on and as time rolled on, God was teaching us how to pray through these dreams and visions against these warnings that he gives us, you know. And most of the time, I don't say all of the time, most of the time our prayers are answered. If not immediately, he has given us, like if let's say, for instance, this person, God told us this person fixing a faction out because of this, that, or the other. And we'll start praying. And maybe they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to repent right then, and they left out. But then he'd give us another dream and said, if you keep on praying, I'll bring them back. I'll bring them back. We've had instances where people came back from faction in because of our prayers. I had one person come back twice from faction because I got three up there, but it's faction. It's because of our prayers for him. He came back. Praise God. You know, that's God. He can do anything. And so that's what we do now. We're a praying bunch of folks. We have prayers on every morning, and then we have a collective prayer on Monday nights. And then we have fellowship on Friday nights, which is generally a teaching. And then we have Bible study on Wednesday morning. I mean, we got God every day if you want it. And that's great. I tell you what, it holds you to a very high standard in God's realm, because you know that everybody else is seeking God the same way. You want the Lord to be pleased with you. That's the main goal of everybody here, is that God be pleased with us. And that's what he wants from everybody, actually. All right. I'm gonna hush and let y'all talk. Anybody got anything they'd like to add?
I was just going to say I could detect that factious spirit moving really since Friday. You know, I could feel it. You know, I could feel it trying to come on me just because of what's going on. And I could see it's going to get crazy here. You know, resisting that really hard, but still, you could see it. I could just feel those things. I don't know about you guys. I could feel it. Just my thoughts.
Well, I can tell you something, David, that happened Monday night. Last night, we had some people repent of factious thoughts, you know. That spirit of faction is all over this world now. And it's something that we need to pray against and to intercede for the people around you as well, that factious spirit, bind that factious spirit up, you know, and rebuke him. And he's got to flee. He's got to go. He can't stay around you.
That's what I was doing today. I thought, you know what? No, you're not controlling me. I'm not receiving that. I'm done with you. You know, I recognize it real quick. You know.
Absolutely. We had the first time I'd seen that many at one time, other than a real factious attack. But we had last night, we had how many, I don't know, four or five of them that had thoughts of faction, you know, and repented from it. And that's good. That's a good thing. And we all prayed against it coming against anybody else. And that's what we do. Amen. Well, that's very discerning there. Yeah, go ahead, Leon.
I think we ought to pray for Dave now.
Okay.
Because
well, let's argue about that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, we'll
little factious attack there, wasn't it? Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Leon.
Go ahead.
Well, Lord, I just lift Dave up to you, and I pray that you would cast out these demons. I cast these demons out in the name of Jesus, Lord. Protect him. Secure him, Lord. Don't allow him to give in to these factious demons. They're not going to stop just because you prayed. They're not going to stop. They're going to continue on. And, Lord, we pray that they would be gone and nullified, Lord. And not only for Dave, but I want to pray for Andrew. I want to pray for John in Stockholm. I want to pray for Michael. I want to pray for Wade and Jeanette. I want to pray for Joe. I want to pray for Missy. I want to pray for Leonid. I want to pray for Barbara. I want to pray for Kurt. I want to pray for Willie. I want to pray for Jackie. I want to pray for Marlon and Gano. And I want to pray for Megan, Lord God, that any factious spirit that may be coming in, that they would repent and it would get out, Lord Jesus. And we cast it out in the name of Jesus, who was the victorious Son. He gained victory over principalities, over powers, over rulers of darkness, and over the devil and over death, Lord God. He is victorious. And he gave us the authority over serpents and scorpions, Lord, and we come against them and cast them out in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. We bind up and rebuke that spirit of faction out of this whole fellowship.
Yes.
And the people that are listening to this broadcast, we bind up that factious spirit that may be attacking them in the name of Jesus and cast it off of them. And we thank you, Lord, that your angels are surrounding about your chosen people of God, the chosen people of God, and you're shielding them from them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for giving us discernment to know what it is and that it is an attack of Satan and that all we have to do is rebuke it and go on because we believe what the word says, that we do have authority over the Satan. He's under our feet and that's where he belongs. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight been a good night of revelations and the dreams and visions, Lord. I ask that you give us revelations in our dreams and visions, Father, and words of knowledge, Lord, and that there would be more forthcoming warnings and signs and all of that that you do for us, Lord. Let the gifts flow among your fellowship here, Lord, in Jesus' name, and that the next time we come together, Lord, that dreams would be told, warning dreams or encouragement dreams or whatever it is that you have for us, Father, and that we would all be able to discern and to help interpret these dreams, Lord. And I ask that you give us all that ability, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for putting a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God in each one of us. We know that the bridegroom is soon to be at the door knocking. And Father, we all want to be ready when the bridegroom does knock, Lord, so that the bride would be able to go with him at that time. We don't want to be late. We want to be right on time for the bridegroom. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in all of us. Thank you for answering our prayers tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you bless everybody here with a good night's sleep and a good dream, good encouraging dream, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless and keep us until we meet again, and that's going to be Thursday night, Lord, and we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Well, all right, folks, we're out of time here. Has anybody got something that they would like to talk about Thursday night? Huh? All right, I've unmuted everybody. Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about Thursday night? Somebody choking that dog.
She wants
I think we should all go fishing at Johann's.
Yeah. he's got some nice looking fish back there, man. They look good in the frying pan, wouldn't they? Praise God. All right. Just somebody come up with a subject here. Let me know right quick what you want to talk about.
Somebody can always email you.
Okay. If you want got something you want to talk about, email me. Let me know. And if not, I'll try to come up with something between now and then. All right. God bless. We'll see y'all.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night, Joe. Good night,
God bless y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Love y'all. Bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Hey, Jackie, have a good trip up there. We'll be looking for you Thursday night. Good testimony. Good night, Willie.
Bye-bye. Michael?
Good night, Joe.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question after you stop the recording, please, if you don't mind?
Yes. Let me stop it.